girls and boys basketball, they were participating. So just a lot of stuff today to talk about here on Right a Wrap. I want to wish you all a very happy morning. And as we get ready for another snowfall coming up tonight, let's talk some Raider sports. So as I mentioned earlier this morning, I spoke with Doug Davis, and the first question that I asked Coach Davis was, you know, just the success that the team had at sections and, you know, what that means and what that all boils down to. Here's head coach Doug Davis.
We had a successful meet at the section, but as, you know, as is the case with this sport always, there's always a few heartbreaks. You know, we had a few boys that, you know, just kind of missed that. We'd love to have gotten them into the state meet as well, but from the standpoint of, you know, swimming their best swims, best times, yeah, that was kind of the norm in a lot of areas yesterday. And so, you know, we can put 12 guys into the state meet, or when we can cover all 12 events, we put guys in the state meet in all those events and swim as well as we did and have the success we did. You can't really complain about it.
So explain how that works then. You guys win sections as a team. So if you were to get to state as an individual, that and whatever you do at state, that wouldn't go to a team score because your team isn't there. But because you guys are won the section, that means all 12 of those athletes that are able to perform in state, wherever they finish, that goes to a total team thing as well as individual. Or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a little different than like wrestling and some of their sports. And I know that I think our coaches association is even looking at this and addressing this a little, you know, possibly. Currently right now, you know, we have the true team format that the coaches association pulled together, which is the team effort. You'll qualify as many athletes as you can out of this individual meet, the championship meet. So all the guys that swam yesterday, we swam for a team title. But all the individuals that we qualified out, or teams and relays, we'll go on then to the state meet. And then when you get to the state meet, however those guys do, those points do go towards a team, an overall team championship, and there can still also be a team title that's awarded based on the number of ways that you qualify. So it's really, again, it's kind of the strength of your team. If you have enough talented athletes that can qualify, it gives you the best shot at, you know, making a run at something at the state meet. But it does get a little more limiting because it's whatever guys you can qualify out is what your team then is composed of.
All right, very good. Got it. All right, well, let's talk about the meet these last couple of days here. Let's just go ahead and we'll start with diving. Oscar Hannafield doing a fantastic job as he has the last couple of seasons for you. Talk about his performance.
You know, Oscar has been a great addition ever since his family came back from traveling abroad a couple of years ago. And I know this year at the beginning of the season, we talked about his individual goals, and you know, he wanted to, you know, improve on what he did last year. Being up the state meet, you know, finishing, I think, 11th or 12th. He wasn't really satisfied with that effort. Having performed, you know, better throughout the season this year, he has been diving so much more consistent. He's worked on putting in some newer, more difficult dives, really cleaned up his effort on the board. And he's been diving at a different level than he was last year. And so very encouraged about what his potential is, what his possibilities are next week. You know, he's had a couple really good meets these last couple weeks with a really solid Big Nine performance. Now a really nice, you know, section meet. So we're kind of encouraged and looking forward to what he can do up at the state meet.
And, of course, looking at this, looks like Dan Dupay, his diving coach, TAB Diving Coach of the Year. Just talk about Dan. I know he's been with the program for many years, both the boys and girls programs, and just what he brings.
Dan is a good person that has really learned the craft over the years because he was, I think, a wrestler when he grew up in high school, but loves sports and loves working with kids and really kind of got started, you know, with the girls program when his daughter was coming through because they didn't have a diving coach, and so was willing to come on board and work with them. And he's learned the craft. You know, he's went to clinics, he's talked to a lot of divers, he's learned, you know, how to teach these guys and girls. And, you know, he's become respected as a, you know, fairly accomplished diving coach now around the state, even though that wasn't his background. And, you know, he's a calming voice. He coaches a little different. Every coach has a different, you know, coaching style. He coaches a little different than some of their coaches in the Big Nine from that perspective. But our boys always respond real well to what he does. And, you know, he's just been a tremendous asset to our program.
All right. Again, we're speaking with Doug Davis, head coach of the Gator Boys Swimming and Dive Team. They just won the section meet as a team, so they are sending a bunch of athletes to state this next week. So we're just kind of recapping the section meet here. It looks like, looking here, you brought in 37 entrants into the meet. 34 of them made it to the finals, to the final stage in the championship heat, which, again, you talk about the strength of the team, but talk about the effort that it takes to do something like that and what those boys brought these last couple of days.
you know, it's going into the meet, you know, that was kind of one of our, you know, that's always one of those pie in the sky kind of, if you have a perfect meet, you know, all the boys get a chance to come back, participate, and contribute to the team effort. And the fact that when we walked out of prelims and we had, you know, 32 out of our 35 swims back, 34 out of, you know, 37 swims, or, you know, whatever the number was, it was crazy. And with the bulk of them being in the championship top eight heat, that was kind of like one of those dreams come true. And it was just a validation and affirmation for the boys of all the hard work they put in this season, put themselves in those positions where they can go swim, compete at the highest level, you know, get those recognitions and honors, and be part of such a great effort this year. It truly has been a joy of mine to work with these boys this year. They've worked hard. They've sacrificed a lot. They do everything we ask them to do. They trust in us, and the results are showing. So that was an outstanding performance and something that it'll be a long time coming if we are going to repeat that again. That was pretty special.
Awesome to hear. Let's go ahead and just break down a little bit more some of the individual events here. The 200-yard medley relay team, looking here, three seniors and a junior, so a very experienced group. They were able to beat Austin by just a narrow margin. Obviously, those seniors have been through the program. I've interviewed all three of them many times over the years, just when you've come down for Raider apps and everything. Talk about that 200 medley relay team and, you know, what they can do at state and their performance these last couple of days.
Well, we're very excited about the bulk of the swims that we have going up to the state meet, that relay, you know, included, because the majority of the boys going up this next weekend, are saving the shave. They did not have to shave and did not plan or intend on shaving for the section meet. And so we hopefully have a little bit more to give when we go up to the University of Minnesota next weekend. And for all four of those boys, Marcus, Jack, Ethan, and Andrew, that's the case. They were all, you know, full of hair, just, you know, slightly rested, and they just put on their good suits to help them, give them a little bit of a boost and to break the school record, you know, swim 137.7 right now, which was the second fastest in meet history, you know, as far as overall accomplishments. They're going to be set up quite well. And so I'm kind of excited to see what they can do. Like you said, they have been doing this for a number of years, so they're very experienced. I trust them. And we got some big, you know, big goals for those guys, see what they can do as a team when we get up to the U.
All right, you got another senior, Josh Beamer, sped to a tie for a second in the 200 free, but he did qualify with a time of 1:48.5. And, of course, you had other swimmers swipe third, fourth, and sixth in the 200 IM. Let's talk about Josh Beamer. And, you know, it's funny, Doug, as a substitute teacher, I was actually substituting for his mom, Lori, who was at the meet there these last couple of days at St. Dominic. And So talk about Josh's performance.
Josh is one of those boys that absolutely will always wear his emotions on his sleeve. He is a kid that has to work tremendously hard. He doesn't have some of the natural gifts and talents that like an Andrew Becker had, or like a Marcus Houck, or some of those guys, Ethan Schaefer. And so I have absolutely just fallen in love with Josh. He has been a kid that I have kind of taken under my wing for the last 6 years as he's been in our program. And he's just kind of got a special place, you know, in my coaching career and in my heart, you know, working with him. He's just a neat kid. I love his intensity. He was a little nervous after prelims because he didn't shave for prelims, which was new for many of these boys. But then, you know, getting him the opportunity to do that, putting him in a good place for finals, he had a great swim. And I'm suspecting that he even has more to give and that he can be even faster up at the University of Minnesota, which is what we've been kind of training for and planning for all season long. So it's kind of my hope that he has more to give. And, you know, we're kind of hoping for big things out of him. But it's been just an absolute pleasure to work with him.
Let's talk a little physiology here, Doug. You talk about the shaving, like of the legs and everything like that. Does that make a difference? I mean, can you swim faster? I'm sure the stats prove that, but describe that aspect of the sport a little bit and how important something like as small and simple as that can be.
The shave itself and the amount of hairs that you're taking off will reduce the drag against the water a small amount. There is some physics behind it where you might be able to shave off hundredths of a second. I mean, the amount of hair follicles that are dragged into the water isn't going to be something where you'll shave and because you take that hair off, it like would, from the physiological standpoint, give you like 3 or 4 seconds. However, what it does do too, as well as, you know, cleaning up the body to make you feel fast and light, is when you take that, the shave, it also will shave off and clean off that, the top layer of dead skin. And they're working in chlorine for so many months out of the year, that top layer of skin just gets dried out and it gets, it's dead. And when you shave that off along with the hair, you're now exposing the healthy kind of fresh, clean, new skin layer underneath, which when they hit the water, it's a psychological feeling that you just can't replace. And so at this point in the season, from a physical standpoint, the boys have trained hard and, you know, they should be ready to go. You want to find whatever mental and psychological boost and advantage you can be in. And their swims right now are mostly 85 or 90% mental. And this is, it's such a psychological feeling and a boost that it's, that's something that the guys just do because it's just part of our sport.
Very good. Yeah, no, fair enough, fair enough. We mentioned Andrew Becker, part of the 200-yard medley relay team. He also had a pretty good, some good individual finishes, second in the 50 freestyle, also qualified for state in the 100 free. Talk about Andrew as an individual swimmer and what he's been doing.
You know, when he was younger, I thought he might be one of those little good breaststrokers with Jack Meehan, and he does. He is, he's a tremendously talented athlete. And if you've watched him throughout the year, you can see that he is versatile and he could do just about any event. And he would have been very successful in any event, but he has just fallen into the sprints, especially when he hit his growth spurt over the last couple of years and really grew. He has this tall, long body, which is built perfectly for sprinting. It just so happens, though, that he happens to be competing in the event and out of our section with this, you know, nice junior from Winona, Jack Herzig, who is looking like he'll probably defend, you know, his 100 freestyle championship at the state meet and maybe even win the 50. I mean, he's just a talented athlete. So Andrew and Jack have had some good races throughout the year, but Andrew has been just, you know, phenomenal. And he's also got that shape to give, you know, and we're looking forward to the University of Minnesota, and he's got a few goals yet he wants to accomplish, trying to go after our school record that Kevin Casson holds in the 100 free at 46.9, and at a 47.4, he's very close to that. And he'd like to break the 21-second barrier in the 50 free. And so these are all goals that we're hoping to accomplish by the time we get done.
All right, very good. A couple more swimmers on the individual level. Marcus Houck, again, also a member of that 200-yard medley relay, qualified 100 butterfly. Ethan Schaefer easing to the state finals in the 500 free. So Northfield will be sending 9 total swimmers, and you mentioned 12 events competing at state. And then Marcus Houck and Jack Meehan added additional each individual events to their state finals in the 100 backstroke and 100 breaststroke. Just, you know, again, all around, Doug, as we talk about this very quality team here, all of these guys going to state, but you know, you do have some competition now it gets to be the real deal at the University of Minnesota of Aquatic Center. I guess St. Thomas, people are talking kind of the class of the class at this point, looking to challenge them. But let's talk about what the Gators as a team can do at state and what you want out of these and what kind of their goals are as they go to state.
You know, from the very beginning, even last year, you know, we realized we had a special team coming in, and, you know, I challenged those boys to leave no stone unturned. And so for the most part, I think these guys have responded well. Again, you know, you look back at yesterday's meet, and there's so many of those close swims that we wish we had just a couple more up there. Because still at the state meet, it's a numbers game. And the more bodies you can put in that pool up there at this level, the better chances you've got, you know, to do well. St. Thomas, I think, will be a team that will be a team to be reckoned with. Breck Blake, being the defending state champion, is going to be a team that I think we're all going to be chasing. I'm hoping that the numbers that we got in, and if these boys can swim and even have more to give. And like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic about that fact because of the 9 guys going up to the swim, 5 of them still have the full shave to give. And the guys that are basically swimming most of those individual events and are the kind of key elements of those relays are all the ones that still have the shape to give and a little bit more additional rest. And going up to this, you know, premier facility with the state meet kind of hype that hopefully we'll be able to, you know, have some great swims. You know, when it all gets said and done, I hope the guys go up there and have a blast. I hope they swim well. I know in the back of the mind, the guys are thinking they'd like to be up there and be one of those, you know, top 3 or 4 teams to see if we can't, you know, finish out the season the way we started, you know, but with all cylinders firing. You know, we were 3rd in true team state. I know the boys would love to see if we couldn't contend for a trophy. There are some quality teams up there, and it's going to It's going to take a lot of really good swimming. And so I'm hoping my boys, you know, have a little bit more left in them. That's kind of what we've been planning for and training for. And that's, you know, but the only thing we can control is what our boys do in the water. We can't control what other teams do. So we're going to go up there, swim fast, have a blast. You know, hopefully everybody has their best swims. And then we just kind of see what happens around us.
All right, let's talk about reason we're pre-recording this today, Doug, is you guys are doing a little bit of, like, some stretching in the pool at Carlton during Raider Rap at 10 o'clock. But just, you know, talk about you talk about training and, you know, what kind of schedule are you going to put these boys through here this next week leading up to state?
Yeah, today is just a recovery day. You know, they swam hard yesterday. We went home after having a nice meal and kind of chit-chatting. But today is just kind of loosening up. And I like to keep their body in their kind of normal routine because a number of our big invites and championship meets are always on a Saturday, the finals.
Right.
True team on a Saturday, sections on a number of invites on Saturday, the state finals will be on a Saturday. So I don't want their body to be in an off routine. I want them to still keep that routine. So today we're just going to come in, like you said, stretch out, loosen up, just swim around. So they swim the hard day out of yesterday, out of their body, nothing hard. Probably in the water for half an hour, 40 minutes tops, but just feel good. Go home, get another day and a half of rest. And then Monday when we come back in, this week is just additional rest. Some real, just kind of small things, fine tuning, cleaning up our starts and exchanges and our relays. But, you know, the ultimate rest. And we got a week left and, you know, it's Friday and Saturday. They have to swim fast and Oscar's got to dive well on Thursday. So there's very little kind of training to get physically ready. Now it's just the rest, clean things up, and hopefully get the boys psychologically and mentally in a good place.
Well, Doug, we're hoping for big things next week. We'll be rooting you on. We'll be talking about your results next week on Raider App, and hopefully after state, maybe we can get you guys to come in and talk about your experiences there, especially some of those seniors that have been such a big part of the program over the last few years. Congratulations on the section win as a team. Congratulations on the kids moving on to state, and good luck next week. Go take care of business, buddy. We appreciate it, and we're rooting you on.
Thank you so much, Dusty. I appreciate that.
Have a good day, Doug.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Doug Davis, head coach of the Gator Boys Swim and Dive Team. We'll be right back right after this.
Wednesday, February 27th is Bus Driver Appreciation Day, and all of us at KYMN, along with the management at Benjamin Bus, would like to extend a sincere thank you to all the area bus drivers. Since opening, the drivers at Benjamin Bus have combined for over 400 years of safe driving experience, transporting our most precious cargo. This is not an easy task, especially in these winter months. So on Wednesday, if you get a chance, make sure to thank a bus driver. Wake up, take a shower, feed the kids, make kids lunch, kids to school, drive to work, drive home, help with homework, mow the lawn, kids to sports, run errands, make dinner, do the dishes, do the laundry, walk the dog, pick up the house, kids to bed. Kick your shoes off and relax.
As a proud supporter of Northfield Schools and Raider Athletics, everyone at ServiceMaster by Iat knows that life can seem to get away from you. Balancing daily schedules of work along with kids' school and sports schedules can seem to be impossible at times, but you find a way to do it. When you finally get a chance to kick your shoes off, ServiceMaster by Iat will make sure your feet relax on soft, clean floors. They deserve it.
An evening of mystery awaits you. On Saturday, March 2nd, St. Dominic's School invites you to a historic event, the 20th anniversary of Saints Night Out. Join us for a masquerade ball and a fun-filled evening with live and silent auctions, games, raffles, and the opportunity to celebrate the history and future of St. Dominic's School. Contact the school today for more information. Saints Night Out, brought to you by Einstein Remodeling, Millersburg Construction, Benjamin Franklin Plumbing, Forget-Me-Not Florist, Homes of Distinction, and Chris and Mary Thurin.
And welcome back to Raider Rap, everybody. Great conversation there with Doug Davis. Just totally enjoy my conversations with him, and we hope to have them on in a couple weeks, hopefully talking about, you know, top three. I think a third place at state behind St. Thomas and Blake Breck are very doable for Northfield. I think that's sort of what they're going for. Maybe even sneak into that second place, maybe try to get above St. Thomas. Sounds like Blake and Breck is the class of the class. They're going to be tough to beat, but St. Thomas might be gettable this season for the Northfield Raiders to possibly get second place in state, so I wish them the best of luck. Let's go ahead and talk about some other Raider sports, and boy, it's getting busy this time of year, ladies and gentlemen. There are all kinds of postseasons going on, teams, unfortunately, seasons coming to an end, other teams continuing their fantastic runs. Let's talk a little bit about it. First, I want to mention the boys hockey team. They had a section quarterfinal game against St. Paul Johnson, a team that they beat in the regular season. It was the third-seeded Raiders against the sixth-seeded St. Paul Johnson, and the boys lose to St. Paul Johnson on Thursday. 6-2 is your final. The boys' hockey season comes to an end, and so does the career of Devin Jurek, one of the most prolific hockey players in the history of the Raider program. Wish Devin the best as he looks to take his hockey skills on to the next level. But as a team, boys' hockey, I'm sure they're very disappointed. This was a team that... was hoping to make a little bit of run in the state. They had a tough section to get through, but you know, even to get to the section final would be good. And they haven't made it back to state since 2 years ago when they made it. So this is a tough loss for the Raiders. I know that they're a little heartbroken right now. But wish the boys all the best as they come back next year. But boys hockey season comes to an end on Thursday, 6-2 loss to St. Paul Johnson. Let's talk Raider wrestling. They continue to win. First off, we're going to talk about last weekend's victory over Owatonna in the Section 1-3A tournament. The entire Northfield bench was on its feet with the coaching staff doing its best at splitting time between watching the action on Saturday, last Saturday at Mayo Civic Center, and making sure none of the second-seeded Raiders spilled under the mat. Junior David Tonjan was wrestling at 220 pounds with the Raiders up 5 points, so any type of win would conceivably clinch the Section 1-3A title. With only a minute off the clock in the first period, though, Tonjan decided enough was enough and flipped Quincy Price onto his back and pinned him, sparking the celebration of Northfield's second section title and the program's second trip to the state tournament with a 36-22 victory against top-seeded Owatonna, who were also ranked in Class 3A. Even though Owatonna was the top seed and viewed as a likely state title-winning team much of the season, Northfield entered Saturday as the favorite after the Huskies lost their starter at 106 due to a disciplinary issue. Boneheaded play. You can check up what that person did. Some racist remarks on Instagram. Very, very silly to do that. And he is in big trouble with both the school and others. So he was one of the top wrestlers in the country, and they did not have him for the section tournament. Not a very smart move or team play there by that young man. And then also there was a 285 starter that they lost to injury. So two of their best wrestlers were not competing, but I don't think it would have been wrapped up. I think it would have not mattered if they had wrestled. The Raiders had the title wrapped up before 285 even came into play. And it's unlikely the difference would have made up at 106, even if Owatonna was full strength. Other winners for Northfield against Owatonna was Chase Murphy at 106, Jake Messner at 113, Trayton Anderson 132, Drew Woodley at 145, and Antonio Carter at 285. Northfield started the year with the belief it could burst past traditional powers Owatonna and Albert Lee this season, and it did just that this last Saturday. With 10 wrestlers set to return next year that won at least 19 matches, the Raiders believe this title is just the start. So that means that was team last weekend. This weekend, it's individual section wrestling, and starting on Thursday and continuing into today, all of the Raider individuals are still alive. Let's talk about it. After the first day of wrestling at the Section 1-3A Individual Championships at Mayo Civic Center, every Northfield wrestler still alive for a berth to the individual state tournament. Overall, 12 of the 14 entrants for the Raiders will start at 9 a.m. today, or have started, in a championship semifinal, meaning there are only two wins from a section title. If a wrestler wins a championship semifinal and loses in the final, they may have to wrestle a true second match to determine who will be the second state qualifier in the weight class. If a wrestler has already beaten his true second opponent earlier in the tournament, he'll automatically be awarded a spot in state. A loss in the championship semis means being rerouted the consolation bracket, the infamous wrestlebacks, of which the winner will gain entrance in that true second match. On Friday, let's talk about how the Raiders did. Top-seeded Chase Murphy at 106 received a first-round bye before winning his only match of the day by fall to advance. Second-seeded Jake Messner at 113 picked up a pair of falls to advance. Second-seeded Sam Holman at 120 used a first-round bye and a 7-0 decision to move on. Fourth-seeded Gavin Anderson at 126, top-seeded Trayton Anderson 132, and top-seeded Drew Woodley at 138 all advanced with a first-round bye and a fall. Fourth-seeded Darren Kuiper at 145 paired a first-round bye with a 9-4 decision. Fifth-seeded Colby Olson at 160, fourth-seeder Jack Stanton at 170, and fourth-seed Jack Holman at 195 coupled first-round byes with falls as well. Third-seeded David Tonjam at 220 utilized the first round bye in a 13-9 decision, while third-seeded Nick Lopez had the fortune of a pair of byes to advance into the championship semifinals. Also still alive is third-seed Ethan Johnson, who lost a 4-3 decision after a first-round bye, and Mason Pagel, who lost a 1-0 decision after winning by fall in the first round. In terms of state-ranked matchups rating the Raiders today, the 5th-ranked Messner is set to collide with 2nd-ranked Ryan Henningsing on Winona, if Winona in the finals at 113, and the top-ranked Woodley is on a collision course with 6th-ranked Landon Johnson of Owatonna in the finals at 138. So this is the championship semis are slated. We're slated to begin at 9 o'clock. Consolation semis approximately 11:30 this morning. Championship round slated to begin around 3 p.m. We hope that they're able to get that in before the weather starts. Let's go talk some Raider gymnastics. At least it wasn't until Friday night when the Raiders started to piece it all together and nearly upset the Class 2A number 2 ranked Owatonna Huskies at the Section 1-2A Championships at Farmington High School. Of course, it's been a tough go of it for the Raiders, not having really a true home. They've been bouncing all over the area trying to find meets and trying to find practice space. So they had a little bit of adversity that they had to fight through today, and they had a very, very fantastic section meet coming up just short. The Huskies finished with a 147.025 team points to narrowly edge the 146.425 from the 16th-ranked Raiders. That score blew away the previous season best, a 141.175, which was attained last weekend for Northfield at the Big Nine Conference Championships. Freshman Sydney Peterson says that was really fun, especially toward the beginning of the year. We had really low scores. Not low, obviously, but lower than we were expecting. And then up to our conference meet, we only got a 141. To be able to pull it together today felt really good. Northfield coach Leanne Fricke says of the effort, to see them put it all together, some of those girls worked through a few injuries to be able to come out today and get second place at sections. Coming within 6/10 of Owatonna, we couldn't ask for anything better. They closed the season about as strong as we could have expected. So good job on the Raider gymnastics team. And I do not believe they sent in... Northfield and Owatonna. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and continue here. Bit of adversity that coming in Friday's performance. Northfield and Owatonna is. I jumped around here. I apologize for everybody. I lost my spot. The Huskies on the vault haven't lost to a Big Nine team in 5 years before the Raiders edged them by 0.2 points to start the meet. From there, Northfield held on through the uneven bars before surrendering the lead on the balance beam. The Huskies, who have finished 3rd at state the past 2 years, then clinched their 4th straight trip to the state tournament on the floor and ended up with the top score in 3 of the 4 rotations among the 8 teams competing. In the end, though, Northfield will be sending just as many individuals, 5, as Owatonna will be using in the team competition. That includes Sydney Peterson, who, after competing on the balance beam as an 8th grader at last year's state finals, is entirely unsure what to expect with this year's height and responsibilities in the all-around. She said, "It's probably a whole new experience with a lot more nerves. I felt kind of comfortable on beam last year, but in other events I still feel kind of shaky on, so it's going to be weird, but really fun." Girls basketball. They had a couple of games this week. First off, it was Austin. A few bad minutes proved to be the insurmountable Tuesday night when Northfield was unable to make up a large second-half deficit in a 62-53 loss at Austin. A brief run by the Packers stretched their halftime lead to 8 points before they scored the first 8 of the second half to widen the gap to 16. The Raiders were able to claw back to within 4 before the comeback ran out of steam. Head coach Tony Matheson says of the effort against Austin, "It's still just taking care of the basketball. It's as simple as we can put it, take care of the basketball." So after that, then the Raiders had a chance to take on Winona on Thursday, and it wasn't necessarily the final score for the girls' team. The Raiders led by 21 at halftime and only extended that until an eventual 77-49 victory. What needed nearly the entire game to be worked out, though, was whether senior center Rachel Kelly would surpass the 1,000-point mark. She needed 26 points and scored her 27th of the night with about 6 minutes remaining when those in charge at Winona acknowledged the accomplishment by stopping the game and handing over the ball to Kelly. Matheson says, quote, "She worked really hard. to become the player she is, and her efforts were recognized tonight. Her teammates were unselfish, and they got her the ball. The plan was to get the plan wasn't to get it tonight, but if it happened, it did. Beyond Kelly, the rest of the Raiders had little trouble against the Windhawks after jumping out to that 44-23 lead at half. They have one more game against Faribault, and then they are going to be taking on and then they have the section seeding, which happens this morning. I'm going to take a quick look at that and see if the seeds are officially out yet. It's probably a little early still on where the Raiders are going to be playing here. Let's see here. And no, it's not. Here they are. Northfield was the number 2 seed. They'll be taking on Albert Lea on February 27th. That's going to be on Wednesday. Wednesday, February 27th, Northfield against Albert Lea. So expect Ned the Horse Farmer to be doing that game. And that game will be at Northfield High School. Should the Raiders win, then they advance on to Saturday at 2:45 p.m. at the Mayo Civic Arena. And should they win that, then it goes on to March 8th in the section finals. But they got some work. They got a lot of work to do before they get to that point. Red Wing is the number 1 seed. So Northfield will be the number 2 seed, taking on Albert Lea on Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. right here on 95.1 The One, AM 1080 and KYMNradio.net. Ned the Horse Farmer on the call. And Raider boys had an opportunity to play Austin this week as well. This will be my last story. Eventually, Northfield boys basketball won't fall into brief mental lapses that allow Austin to surge ahead and out of reach. At least that's the hope and belief of Northfield coach Andy Birkbaum, even if that occasion wasn't Tuesday night in Northfield, where the Packers pulled away for a 79-63 victory despite trailing by double digits to the Raiders in the first half. Birkbaum says they're a good team. You just have to play really well to beat them. That's all there is to it, and it can't just be for a half. We've had double-digit leads on them before. I told our guys before we went out, don't get high, don't get low. To start the game, the Raiders were executing that even-keel game plan. They were mixing the ball inside and out while only allowing the Packers to fire from distance. Eventually, though, Northfield built a 30-18 lead with 6 minutes, 58 seconds left in the first half. To that point in the game, Austin had scored all of its points off three-pointers. Then the first run happened, and in a little 2 minutes later, the Northfield advantage was only 31-30. The Raiders held on to a 39-35 lead at half thanks to an off-balance buzzer-beating three-pointer off of 1 foot by Kip Shetnin. The Packers responded by scoring the first 13 points of the second half, punctuated by an Agua Nishwesh dunk who stretched the lead 48-39, and the Austin would go on to continue that victory. The Raiders do have some more games next week. They're the last team that finishes the regular season, and then their section seeding will be on Saturday as well, next Saturday, so let's stay tuned for that for the Raiders. So boys hockey comes to an end. Swimming and dive goes on to state next week. Wrestling continues individual tournament this afternoon. Team advances to state next week. And gymnastics sends 5 gymnasts to state on an individual level next week. So lots of stuff. Girls basketball ranked number 2 in sections. They will begin the quarterfinals on Wednesday. And boys still have a couple more games in the regular season before they get their section seeding. So lots going on in Raiderland. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I really want to thank Doug Davis for taking a couple minutes out of his busy schedule after just competing a heck of a couple of days in Rochester at the pool there to win the section tournament as a team and also send a bunch of guys to state. Good luck in the state tournament. That's going to do it for Raider Rap. Have a great day, everybody.